Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
And it's better that way, right? We're just, it's better together. You guys good? Yeah? There's like so many smiling faces. You guys had your coffee already, right? You were thinking it, so I'm just going to call it out. I did too. Oh, thank you, Lord, for coffee. I just love you for that. And just leading in worship right now. Thank you, Jesus. As you can hear, my voice is a little froggy because, a lot of people have been sick the last couple weeks, huh? So we're just going to rebuke that in Jesus' name. Andy and I came back a couple weeks ago from visiting my family in Toronto, Canada. Right during this, I don't know if you guys have been noticing, like most of the continent is like freezing, like just frozen. Elsa came by or something, and like it was wild. Like we get up there, and we thought we were prepared, and we got there, and like it is so cold. And thankfully, my family, we went to go visit my family, and we had like snow gear for the kids ready to go and everything, and. And we were blown away. It was like minus one, and we went outside to go play, and like all like my old like sleds my dad still keeps in the garage from like, you know, 86 or something. And so we're like my 5-year-old's like sledding on the same sled that I went and like probably like broke a tooth off of. We went sledding, and they like loved it. They were like just enamored by all the snow. And even though it took a little bit to get Ivy in her snow stuff, because she fought and fought, and we brought her outside, and then the next time we're like, hey, let's go play in the snow, they were like, yeah, like let's get the snow gear on, we're gonna go, no battling, no pulling teeth, nothing. Like it was so easy and so much fun, and it was just good to be with our family up there. My brother and sister-in-law adopted a baby girl from Thailand, and so got to meet my new niece and be an uncle and have our kids like hang out cousin time. And she had just turned a year, so the three of them all just really connected really well. It was a huge blessing. So we missed you guys, but it's good to be home. Oh my gosh, when we walked out of the LA airport and we're like, oh, like it's sunny and 75. It was actually like, it was humid. It was really nice to come back to some of that. I don't know why, you don't feel it till you miss it. And then you get back here. It's so good to be home. We love home, but we love being with our family. And, you know, as I said, Ivy, she loves to wear dresses. She loves to be a princess. And she's all about pink. Pink, pink, pink. Everything is pink. And she will, like, battle. Even, like, this morning, she was, like, battling with me to get a pink bowl to have her cereal in. I was like, okay. You can have that one. I'll have this one. But she just wanted to spend time with me too. We had some breakfast together, just eating little Cheerios and stuff. And she's just so sweet. But she loves to wear dresses. And we had to actually convince her to wear like snow gear or pants or anything. We're like, no, princesses. We even saw a book a couple weeks ago in the bookstore called Princesses Wear Pants. Like someone else out there is like battling with this challenge of like, no, honey, we're going to go play in the snow, or no, it's raining. We need to wear jeans. Like, no. Okay. How about pink leggings? Like meet us in the middle somewhere here. And she was given a dress the other couple weeks ago, whatever. And like, half of her closet seems to be like getting consumed by these princess dresses. We've got like Anna, we've got Little Mermaid, we've got, yeah, all of them. Beauty and the Beast, yeah. She just loves them. And so she got this new dress from someone because we just have such a culture here of sharing kids' clothes around, and like somehow she's just collected. There's a season now where she's collected so many. She could like go to Disney and just like be there all week and change a dress like every day. And I'm in my room getting ready, and Annie is trying to get Ivy ready and having a little fight and just talking about like this new dress and stuff. Well, we can't wear this new dress, but how about you go and show Daddy first? That was kind of like our in, probably to like then go and be like, okay, we're done. Now we're going to wear clothes and go out. So I'm hearing this happen, and I'm like waiting I'm waiting for her to like walk, and I can hear her like pitter patter. And then I just see this little face like coming around the doorway, looking at me with a smile. I'm like, hi, what you got? And then she sneaks back out. And then all I just see is her hand holding like part of the dress around the corner. I'm like, oh, pretty dress, a new one. Come show me. And then she slowly pulls it back. And a couple seconds later, then she's like, runs right out and just stares at me with this beaming smile on her face, like just ta-da. Like, and I just bent down on my knees and I just looked at her and I was like, Ivy, you are so beautiful. And I love your new dress. You're so beautiful. And she's just like beaming. And I'm like, I just had this moment where I was like, you stole my affection and my attention right now, you know? And she just like soaked in the delight of her father. And so that's really what I feel like is on the Father's heart today, is to share with you the delight he has for you. You know, last time I spoke in, I think it was October, November, about sustainability and finding sustainable rhythms in life in order to live a thriving life. Rather than striving, we move to thriving. And one of those rhythms I've been learning about is growing in is being rooted in the Father's delight. And what I really mean by that is that I have a healthy belief system of how God feels towards me. And as a worship leader, I'm super focused on how we, like I myself and we as a corporate church, feel about God. You know, when we get here and we kick off our time of song and praise and worship, and I always love starting off, I can't help but just say, God, you have my attention. You have my affection. We just look up to you. We look to you, Father God, and just give you all the praise, all the glory. And it's just like, it comes out of me. It kind of always has. And I just love just praising God and giving him just the glory and the praise that he's due. He's so worthy. But I'm just kind of chewing on this because it's equally important to have this perspective of knowing like how God feels towards me. He delights in us. That's like kind of perplexing. Like what? But you know, when I think of my kids, all I want them to know is that I delight in them. And that no matter what they say or do, I'm not going to change how much I love them. I'm not going to not love them because they throw a tantrum. I may be upset, but hey, we'll work through it. It doesn't change the way I love them. You know what I mean? And like, I'm just like learning as a dad to become even a better son and growing and being a better dad. And I just can't imagine my kids not really like being sure of how much I love them. And the Father was just like, that's how I feel about you. Like, I never want you to feel unsure about the love I have for you. And when we put the kids to bed, it's pretty common. We tuck them in after we've had story time and everything and give them a kiss and we say, how much do I love you? And they respond, all my heart. And sometimes I goof around with them. I'm like, how much do I love you? All my elbow. I'm like, no, Dad. Okay. I love you with all my toe. No, Dad. Okay, all my nose. No, Dad. All your heart. Okay, yeah, you're right. I love you with all my heart. I just want them to know. I just want them to know, like, every night, you know, before the new day starts, that they know that they have their Father's delight. And his delight, the Father's delight in us, was known right from the very beginning. When we look at Genesis, let's actually go to Genesis 1:26, because here, right in the garden, right when he's creating earth and all that's in it, mankind, he reveals his delight. Let's start here at verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image he created him. Male and female he created them. And here's what I want to point out. It says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He blessed them and then gave them that, that kind of job, that this is what you're going to do. Be fruitful and multiply. But he blessed them. And when I looked at that word, the word blessed in Hebrew means baruch. And if you remember, Andrew Ironside actually had talked a little bit about that. It means to kneel and adore. His first interactions with humanity was kneeling and adoring us. Just like I kneeled down to Ivy and I was like, I love you so much. You captured my affection and you're so beautiful. You know, that's how the Father feels towards us. He kneels down to us right from the very beginning. And, you know, we don't have to work for the approval. Like Ivy does not work for her approval, work for her, my love. But, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded that, like, the Father loves us no matter what. And when we do, we walk in our true identity when we're assured of God's feelings towards us. And that comes from hearing his word. You know, Jesus, his ministry began with the Father's delight. He lived 30 years, and when he got baptized, he stepped right into ministry right after that. But the Father pronounced his identification of and his affection for his son. So let's look at Luke 3, 21 to 22. And just see that the Father's delight. I feel like we've read these scriptures over and over so many times, and we focused on one part, but I don't know, just as I've been working through this and just going through this process of learning Father's delight, I'm like, oh wow, this other part that like I didn't quite see the Father's delight in here as I am right now. And let's start with verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and when he prayed, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended. Almost seems like kneeling, like he's coming down in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. There's the delight. I was like, oh, he's pleased in us. He's pleased in you. Let that sink in for a second. Father God, you're pleased in me. I'm accepted. Recently, I got the Passion Translation, and I just hopped through the Gospels on this one because I'm like, what else does it say? What else does it say? Luke 3 in the Passion says, my son, you are my beloved one. Through you, I am fulfilled. He fulfills us. His delight fulfills us. Mark 1, it says, you are my son, my cherished one. Do you know you're cherished? And my greatest delight is in you. Matthew 3 says, this is the son I love, and my greatest delight is in him. Greatest delight. After living an ordinary life for 30 years, you know, doing woodworking and stuff. But the Father was pleased because he was a son. He hadn't been working towards the pleasure and the delight and the approval of God. He just who he was. He was who he was. He was a son, and the Father was pleased. And then from there, he went out to his ministry and did great things and had those words to go into the desert. And, you know, the enemy loves to question the truth. Did God say that, you know, from the garden? Did God really say that? You know, if you're the son of God, do this. And he's like, well, no, you're a liar. Like, he did. I know that. I'm sure. I'm sure of what the Father said to me. And I recently heard the story about this son and dad who had been kind of practicing some golf. The dad's really into it and was like, hey, son, like, you want to try this out? So they were kind of practicing a little bit here and there, getting ready for like the one day that came. And he's like, son, you ready to go and like just go play golf together on the big time kind of thing, you know? And it's time. No more practicing. Let's actually like try this out. So they go out and they have the roughest time, like the roughest time. And by like this point where they get to this pond and they're trying to like cross it, they have like just a few balls left. Like they're just like, this is, yeah, not what we expected kind of thing. And the son gets up and he hits it, goes, you know, way, they're like chasing him like all over the place into the water. And he just gets the club and he like slams it on the ground. He's like, dude, I just wanted to impress you. And the father says, he responds back. He looks in his eyes and says, "So from the very first time I laid my eyes on you, you impressed me. I just wanted to be with you and spend time with you." Now, what happens next, the father said, felt like what probably would have been close to like seeing the Red Sea part, because his son picks up the club, goes back over to the tee, swings it with all his might, and clears not only the pond, but passes where the dad's ball had landed. You know, something about how our circumstances can change because our beliefs are realigned in the truth. It just totally reset him and was like, "I know who I am." And all that pressure just fell off, and he just did it, nailed it. You know, it's super important to realign our beliefs with the truth. When I was about 21, 22, I had a ton of shame and guilt. And I just felt like, oh, I just got to like beat myself up over this thing. Like, "Oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Oh, I feel so bad." And like, I had this mentor, a pastor that I would meet with every week, and we'd have coffee and stuff and just talk. And one time he just was like, "Do you realize like how much shame like you're carrying? Like, it's like you're just carrying it around and you think that like that's going to make it okay. Like that's somehow going to make you feel better." And he's like, "Did you ever think like you have to add something to what Jesus did?" And my heart just sunk. And I was like, how could I tell Jesus like the cross wasn't enough? That really, really made what Christ did on the cross so much more real to me, is that like I was behaving out of a belief that the cross wasn't enough. And so I just repented. I was like, "Oh God, like I'm sorry for doing this," but it wasn't just behavior modification. I couldn't just like lay down and be like, "Okay, I'm sorry, God, for doing this, for holding all this guilt and shame." But it was more like, "I'm sorry, God, that I believed that the cross wasn't enough." And I went from like behavior modification over to my belief system being renewed in the truth. And that's so key. I think that's what like God is tugging on our hearts today about. Because if our hearts aren't marked with the Father's pleasure, we'll strive for his approval when we already have it. If I believe that his pleasure was dependent on me and my actions, that means I could please God with my doing. But the first thing, like, when I started leading worship probably around like 18, 19, 20 or so. And I was like really, really into Matt Redman. Like he was like one of my like worship heroes. And so, you know, I even like tried to write like these songs. Like this one lyric I thought I could use was like, "The first thing on my heart is to please the heart of you." That was kind of like a Matt Redman-y kind of line. And it just kind of, as I was writing this out to this week, just thinking about that part, I don't know, it just came to mind, you know. And the Father was like, "You know, that is true. It's a good thing. I want you to please me. That's great when we pray together before worship time. It's like, I want to please you, God. We want to put a smile on your face." But he's like, "You know, I don't think you realized that you'd been associating getting my pleasure and pleasing the Father with doing something. You don't have to. It's already been done. He's more pleased in our doing or in our being than our doing." You know, religion says what I do defines me. But when I truly understand what the cross accomplished, I can say what he did defines me. And living, being rooted in God's delight means my beliefs and actions would be a response from the overflow of a relationship with the Father. Like back in the garden, be fruitful, not do fruitful, right? It comes out of our relationship, not out of our religious stuff. We move from delight, not for his delight. I think of like my lemon tree in my backyard. You know, there's seasons where there's just no lemons on there. And it's not like it's like standing out there like, "Lemon, lemon, lemon. If I just think lemon, I'll have a lemon. Ah, good. I got a lemon. Okay, I'm a lemon tree. Sweet. Now I have my identity." No, they don't strive to make lemons. It doesn't lose its identity when there's no lemons on there. It's still a lemon tree. And it receives from the sun and the earth all that it needs. It functions as it designs. It just is tree, not does tree. All those grammar police people out right now are like, what are you talking? But you know what I mean? Like, he's pleasing our being, not our doing. We're human beings, not human doings. So let's plug our roots deep into God, how really feels towards us, because it allows for healthy growth, maturity, and fruitfulness. Let's make this declaration. I'm a work in progress. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's working in me, and I'm progressing. Yes, I'm growing. You know, I really battled through insecurity, and I'm learning still to grow into dependence of the Father, just as Jesus did. You know, I'm realizing that, like, insecurity is a lie telling me to look inward for strength. But true sonship embraces the weakness that I feel, and I look to the face of the Father for strength. You know, there's times where I'm going to be real. Even, like, for this message, I just had these lies of insecurity, being like, you can't speak, like, you can't talk like Taylor does, and like, you don't have the passion that Pastor Daniel does, and like, oh my gosh, and like, it's a lie, it's a stinking lie. And you know, like, there's times where I'm gonna like lead worship, and it's like, yeah, like, you know, so-and-so is like so much better, and you're not really enough, like, you need to like do this. I'm like, stinking lie. No, no, like, the Father says be yourself. And so I'm going to be myself. You know what I mean? You guys are amazing. I have to step away from the voice of fear and the voice towards the voice of my Father, because the voice of shame that I'd felt said, you're not enough. And so that's why I felt like, oh, no, the cross. The Father says, you're my beloved. Come, let's do this at a relationship. Because most of the anxiety that I felt from the pressure was, I put that pressure on me myself. But the pressure is not the yoke that my Father has waiting for me as a son. Jesus was dependent on his Father his whole life. And dependency was not to Jesus' shame, it was to his honor. Isn't that cool? Like, wow, well, if Jesus' honor was dependent, he doesn't do anything unless the Father does it and says it. So I want to do that then. That's strength. That's dependence. Yes. I'm looking at him because the Father, Jonathan Helster said, the Father invites us to walk with him in the messiness of our honesty and dependency on him. That's good. Like, I'm a clean freak and I'm like, yeah, messy. That's okay with me. Like, I'm learning through the mess. It's okay. He's got this. Because I depend on him for it all. It all. He cleaned me up. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1, verse 6 says, he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. We're accepted in Christ. Christ is our salvation. So we're accepted in salvation. You know, I grew up going to church, and I've heard the term in Christ a lot, you know, like, you guys have probably heard that a lot too, right? Like, in Christ. And it's something that, like, I've just also still been chewing on. Like, that's a mystery. Like, are we like robed in Christ? Like, I know, robed in righteousness. And I'm just processing through, like, what is that? What does that mean to be in Christ? And I proposed to you today that one of the meanings is, being in Christ means the feelings and the thoughts and the affections that the Father has towards his Son aren't any different than the feelings, thoughts, and affections that the Father has towards us, because we are in Christ. And like I was saying earlier, I got to go meet my niece Elsie, and she's adopted from Thailand, but she has the Steingard name now. And the Father was showing me, like, look, like, you're an adopted son. You are in Christ. You have taken on my name. You've been brought into my family, just as Elsie has our last name now. She's brought into our family. And she's just as loved and delighted in as anyone else in the family. Like, she has full access as a Steingard now. And we have full access as sons and daughters in the family. We're fully accepted. Ah, isn't this so good? It's just like, what? I'm so glad I'm in Christ. You know? Because when I'm in Christ, His pleasure and acceptance is a sure thing. I don't hope that I'm accepted. I am accepted. You know, when I was about like 16, I went to a summer camp. Summer camps always like wreck your life, right? Like, like defining moments in your walk with Christ, or the fact that you like gave your life to Jesus on a camp is like so many people's testimonies. And, you know, I grew up going to church, but I was at this camp, and the minister or the speaker was talking about hope. And they're like, what are you hoping? And I just raised my hand, and I'm thinking like, oh, I got a good answer. I hope I go to heaven. And they're like, okay. You know, and then they kept going and talking, but at the end, beelines it right back to me. And he's like, hey, so what did you mean by that? Like, why are you hoping? And he explained to me the assurance of salvation. And that blew me away. I was like, all this time I've been like living under my family's Christianity. You know, I'm sort of a nominal Christian. I'm under the name Christian as a Christian family. I go to church, grew up in this, but this was a moment where I took it as my own personal relationship. And that hope was assured. It was so, like, I'll never forget, like, that same day, I started reading the Bible, and it was like 3D. Like, just suddenly, these words were leaping out into my soul, like, whoa, like, this is His love letter for me, and, like, I don't have to hope that I'm going to go to heaven. It's a sure thing. Good thing I'm not defined by what I do, because I'm His child. Wow, I'm His child. I'm His beloved. And He's always pleased in who I am, even though He's not pleased with everything I do. You know, like, there's times where my kids are like, I'm not pleased in what you're doing, but it's not going to change my love for them. It's going to change how we, you know, follow through the next part of the day. Let's sit down. Let's have a timeout. No. It's amazing how becoming a father has taught me so much about the delight of the Heavenly Father's love towards me. And I love to see it in other people too. Like, and even in my own brother, like when my dad and I were talking about the adoption process for my brother and my sister-in-law, and we were just on the phone one day, and my own dad just says to me, I haven't seen your brother this happy in a long time. And I saw that when I got to experience it when we went up there. Like the love that a father has for an adopted son and daughter. It like, gah. Hold on a second here. It's just, He's coming after us with His delight. Just like we sang His reckless love. Like, get ready, get ready. Because there's no wall He won't kick down. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, we put our walls up, but He's like, that one's not going to last. He's just coming after you. He's coming after us. Just say, Lord, come after me. That's a dangerous prayer. He just said, gotcha. I think we should end this new year by putting this striving aside. Wait, did I just say end this new year? I mean, start this new year. End last year with striving. Let's start 2018 in the Father's delight. I feel like that's what's on the Father's heart. There's so many prophecies about 2018, and I couldn't even tell you, like, it's almost like this feeling or this color. Like, it's just brightness. It's light. There's something bright ahead for you in this year. You know, a lot of people have lost hope. A lot of people are frustrated, feeling unloved, unappreciated. And the Father is saying, I accept you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Because it all comes from there. and then it flows out into everything we do. Let it overflow from the relationship of our Father into everything we do. Let it flow out into how I love others, into how I live out my calling. Because this reckless love needs to come out of you. You know what I mean? It just needs to flow out. Whether that's just in your family, in your friendships, in your relationships at work, school, all your circumstances, all your circles, let his love just overflow off of you and out through you, his delight. That changes, that brings revival right there. He's kneeling down to you and he's saying, I'm so pleased with you. You are so amazing. I adore you. And you know, the funny thing about Ivy is she doesn't have to work for it. She just comes up and she knows. She knows who she is. And she just walks up with this smile on her face. And she suddenly has like captured my affection. She's kind of like just made it happen. It's kind of crazy. Like there's this song I've been listening to that it's called You Delighted Me, funny enough. But the bridge is wild. It says, your pleasure shatters all my defenses. Your kindness melts away my offenses. Your beauty demands my attention. But I know I captured all your affection. I love how that turns around at the end. Like usually, like I said, like I want to like capture, God captures our attention, but he's turning that around for us today and saying, you captured my attention and my affection. He's a good, good father. Let's stand today because I just want to take a moment and let's just do this together. Once everybody stood up, just kind of hold out your hands, just receive mode kind of thing. But I just want us to all just say, Father, and let this sink in. Just say, Father, how do you feel about me? Yeah. Let it sink in, Lord. How do you feel about me? What do you think about me? What are your thoughts about me? And God, as that sinks in, that truth, just begin to set us on a week of just hearing your voice say, we are your beloved. Let that just continue to sink into our souls, into our hearts, that you would transform our beliefs. We're sorry for not believing that we're the beloved. Because that's what you say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in us and that you don't require anything else because you did all that needed to be done on the cross. And now we're accepted. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you're here today and you're not quite sure what all of this means. And I just want to give a little, I don't know, challenge to you. Just give him a try. Just lean in into the delight of the Heavenly Father, your Creator. And I don't want to call you out specifically. So just in this moment, let's just all pray this together. And as we pray that this is just to receive the gift that Christ offers us, a new life, forgiveness, the slate is clean. We can start fresh from your delight, from your approval, from what you've done. So let's just say this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son. And I believe he died and rose again. And I believe you forgive me and I receive your forgiveness today. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life, that you would guide me, Jesus. Lead me in your ways. Thank you that you accept me and you delight in me. So lead me, Lord. Let me love like you. Let me live like you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He's good. He's good.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
You give up your mind.